Hey everybody, it's Adrian Pinozzo here with the More to Life Real Estate Investing Podcast, where we try and help and educate you to get more to life with the help of real estate investing. We are here again live at our EXP headquarters here in Hamilton and very special guest. But before we get there, super excited to tell you, this is season two, sounds like a TV show. This is season two, episode six. So super grateful to be this far with running this podcast and some great feedback. Remember, if you like the content, everything like that, please like below. It obviously goes well for ratings and so on and so forth. So on that note, live here in Hamilton, we have we have Evan Ungar, who, get this, we're going to cut it short, but we'll get into it. Two-time Guinness World Record holder, a very savvy and well-to-do real estate investor, and CEO and entrepreneur who started Tuck Capital. Evan, welcome to the More to Life. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you? Thanks awesome. For having me.
Awesome, man. Good to see you. So I met this gentleman, I don't know, maybe, 6 months ago? It was before Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the event happened it was definitely last year, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
End of 2023-ish,
somewhere around there,
give or take. So I meet this guy, we're at an investor meetup, and I start talking to Evan, and the more I talk to him, I'm like, holy shit. Like, this guy's the real deal. He's got a ton of stuff going on. Very, very knowledgeable in the investor space, property space, so on and so forth. So why don't we get into it? And I'm sure the audience will obviously mimic to my feelings about your experience. But anyways, before we start talking real estate investor stuff, two-time Guinness World Record. Everybody must ask. Tell us about that.
Yeah, everybody does ask. It's it's a great icebreaker. I used to be in the fitness industry, so I worked at a gym, ran personal training departments and whatnot there. So, basically the long story short of it is I have two Guinness World Records for the highest standing jump. So you know what a box jump is?
Yeah, you put the boxes and jump up.
So I have the Guinness World Record for the highest box jump in the world. And I also have the record for the highest single leg jump in the world, single leg box jump in the world as well.
Oh, neat. So, yeah. Neat. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah.
Well, I know you do that, but I didn't know there was a Guinness
record for it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we were I had this guy at the gym who I worked with, and we were very competitive. And so we would always challenge each other to different things. And one day that thing was box jumping. And so we started off, adding, and then finally by the time we got to the tallest height we could do, there were people around us clapping.
It's unbelievable.
They were impressed. And so afterwards we Googled it, and I was like, I'm a foot away from the record here, which is a good amount of space, but I had the specialized knowledge to train for it. So I was like, I'm gonna beat that record. And a year later I beat that record, and then the following year I beat the single leg record, so.
And how old were you when you beat that record?
Oh man, you're gonna date me now. I was probably 26, maybe. 26, 25, 26, 27, somewhere in there.
Nice.
And since then, I've traveled all over, jumping. I've had some crazy, crazy excursions for jumping.
Yeah.
Flew to China to be on Alibaba's live event.
Yeah.
Was on stage with Kobe Bryant. And
really?
And David Beckham. Yeah, that was fun.
All because of this jumping?
All because of the jumping. Yeah, they love these things on TV around the world.
Oh,
so
shit.
Been to Germany, Amsterdam, China, literally everywhere jumping. So had this 4 year spurt of just being on TV in different countries, and it was a great time.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's so cool. Thanks.
So why don't we get into it? Let's talk about how all this started.
Okay.
Obviously you're the founder CEO of Tuck Capital, but let's back it up. So, you're how old now?
32.
When did you start this company, this business, real estate, yada, yada, yada? Take us from the beginning, how it all evolved.
So, we started Tuck Capital, I want to say it was Tuck Capital maybe 2017, 2018. And my business partner and I, Jordan King, we had very like-minded ambitions, goals, and focus. And so we ended up getting together, starting this company, Tuck Capital, and it wasn't real estate related when we first started. So when we first started, we both had a huge network, and decided, okay, how can we help businesses or people that need, you know, startup money or growth money to find it from people who have it? So we started consulting in that space, and we did, you know, did some good deals in that space. And then someone approached us and said, hey, you know, I need a second mortgage, and I'll give you this interest rate for it. And we're like, wow, we'll do your loan. Right? We don't need to sort of say, we'll do this loan for you. That was really the first time we had really looked into like real estate as an investment. We both owned properties. We both had an extra property, like, but not as like this like business, right? It was more just like, we know we should buy real estate.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we do the second mortgage with this guy. We see he's making money, and we're looking at it like, how are you making money and we're charging you this much interest? That's right. Like kind of what we looked at, right?
Right.
And so we said to him, okay, you know what? Like, teach us what you're doing. So that's where we learned the Burr model from, and kind of took off from there. And then Jordan and I decided, you know, we're going to do this on our own, and opened up Tuck Developments, and that's kind of where we do the majority of our real estate, and just started growing aggressively, and then opened up Choice Renovations Canada, full-scale construction company, and then ended up integrating our own property management company called Liso. So we're fully vertically integrated, and just pressing forward as hard as we can.
Amazing. Sounds very familiar to my story with the different verticals, but all under one roof.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, so we did the same kind of thing. I started investing full-time in 2017, part-time before that when I was a police officer. And anyways, I left in 2017, started doing this full-time, and then the different verticals evolved because, you know, we were aggressively growing as well. Rather than outsourcing all this other work side to the whole Burr model the construction and the property management, we thought, well, nobody's going to care more about our stuff than us.
That's exactly it.
So why not keep it in-house where we can control it and have peace of mind who we have working on our projects?
I agree.
So that was the mindset. So very similar with the different verticals like you've described.
I think once you get to like a certain scale, and more importantly than scale, is once you get to a certain understanding where you actually are able to make the high level decisions on those areas of real estate, that's kind of when you end up bringing it in house, right? Like you still have to be educated in those spaces. You're going to hire great people better than ourselves, but we still have to be educated enough to make those like final bigger decisions, and we still have to have the scale of our portfolios large enough to warrant having these companies. Otherwise, you're just managing a lot of stuff for no reason.
Right.
But why did you get into real estate investing full time outside of being a police officer?
Things went well with my initial first acquisitions. There was no joint ventures involved in those ones. So my wife and I leveraged a HELOC.
Nice.
Used that to start. So we bought our first two or three leveraging a HELOC. And now this is probably 14 years ago when I bought my first one. Things went well with those properties. And as much as I loved being a police officer, and I really, really did, amazing career and experience. I wanted more to life, hence the podcast name.
Follow, like, and subscribe.
Right. I wanted more to life. And as much as I loved real estate, policing, it wasn't going to give me the freedom.
Yeah.
Not even so much financial freedom, but time freedom.
For sure.
Is why I continued to aggressively grow in that space. And then ultimately, financially, I was able to leave after 21 years.
Wow, amazing.
So I completed 21 years. So I left 9 years early. Most guys stay, put in their 30, get their full pension and whatnot. So I left 9 years early and never looked back.
You look like you're enjoying and doing very, very well. So,
knock on wood, it's gone well. Obviously, having the one-stop shop has helped us as well.
For sure.
But this is about you. So let's get back to you. So you start this construction company, property management company, and what kind of acquisitions would you say, you know, Tuck focuses on?
Yeah, we focus on value add. Excuse me. So we do follow the Burr model. It's our favorite. We've done plenty of flips. we're not the biggest fan of buy and hold because we just don't feel it will stretch us.
Right.
Or our ability to scale.
Like buying turnkey.
Yeah, buying turnkey. I mean, like, eventually we'll get to the point where buying turnkey fits into our model. But, you know, we're fully self-funded. Just Jordan and myself growing this portfolio. We're finally starting to, you know, open the door to other opportunities. But, you know, we're playing with all of our own money. We need to make every dollar count.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, try scaling a portfolio. You have to be able to recycle the money over and over. So the Burr model was most attractive, and value add is kind of where we landed. Now we've got amazing partnerships with, you know, publicly traded companies that we work with, and we do their acquisitions for them. So they approached us a few years ago. We work with a few different companies and groups, and you know, they know we have a great funnel, we're well connected, and we can do the renovations and development for them. So they come to us when they're looking to acquire. So not only do we acquire for ourselves, but we actually, you know, provide this, you know, full turnkey model for larger groups. And then we do it for smaller people too, but larger groups especially.
In a joint venture structure or straight consulting slash, what kind of structure is that?
It depends. It depends what we're doing and the level of involvement needed. So like, we're working on some really, really cool built-to-rent developments right now. That will be in a joint venture structure. They're really large projects. I mean, for me anyway, they're really large. We're working on one east of Toronto. You know, it'll be 156 townhomes, and then we're going to duplex all of them. So they're not built yet, so we're working with the city to get those duplex. So it'll be 156 we're going to be doing a lot of townhomes there. And then we were working on one up north in Barrie. In Barrie. So those ones will be joint venture, but on the smaller acquisitions, like, you know, a couple properties here and there, or they're looking for like just single family homes in this type of single family home, we'll just do that on a consulting basis.
So let's say I'm an investor. Hypothetically, I listen to this podcast, I want to reach out and talk to you and whatnot, and I say, hey, Evan, I'd love to get a value add sixplex.
Yeah.
But I don't want to deal with anything, and I don't want to joint venture.
Yeah.
We'll
do a turnkey from start to finish. So we'll source the property, we'll help you get financing in place dependent on your structure. If it's a joint venture, we'll take care of all the financing. If it's not, we'll let you kind of go from there, or we can help, you know, create that
connection. You'll facilitate all the renovations.
All the renovations, all the permitting, all that stuff gets taken care of. And then we can even help in the lease up and tenancy as well.
Yeah, to fill the place up with new tenants.
Yeah.
What do you do with, obviously it's an experience that everybody has to go through if they're going to enter the apartment building space. The legacy tenants, do you guys negotiate cash for keys?
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll help start to finish. Start to finish, we'll do it, yeah. So we have a great legal team we work with. I personally am not going into the building doing cash for keys. Definitely have had those conversations in the past, but I think when you sit down with someone, you know, a paralegal or a lawyer, people take it much more seriously. It's always good to have those person-to-person conversations first. But when you get to, you know, larger apartment buildings, send the professionals in for sure. So we have that team incorporated into our turnkey solution. And the townhomes, I couldn't remember the townhomes. It's 256 townhomes being duplex, so it'd be 512 units. So
it's a massive project.
It's the biggest project that we've taken on or even considered to date. So we're progressing on it, and we'll see where it goes, but it's promising.
Nice.
Yeah.
So do you have like a head office, a building, or where do you guys operate Tuck Capital from?
So we're fully remote. Jordan loves being home with his family. Same here. It just gives us the most flexibility. So you get to come to beautiful offices like yours, right?
Yeah.
But
you're fully integrated regardless.
Correct.
And you guys are both running this massive operation.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you must have your own staff underneath you guys and
of course
do what you need to do.
Yep.
Do you particularly focus on any cities, or it's wherever the best deal comes around? Like, are you geographically, can you do a project in London and then 6 months later do a project in Niagara Falls?
Yeah, 100%. And we do that currently. Yeah, we're in 8 cities right now. So yeah, we're technology is a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah, so,
definitely helps with that aspect. We love the Niagara region, like in Hamilton, two of our favorite places to be. I would say up north as well, Sault Ste. Marie, we're heavily invested up there too, so yeah.
So I asked this to everybody, and I'm not sticking to the questions that I've written down. I like to let the conversation flow. Mm-hmm. So you used to be a personal trainer in your 20s. Mm-hmm. When the Guinness World Record for jumping, and obviously you start, call it fluke or just right place, right time, opportunities come around with some lending, segueing into what's the Burr all about, and you're starting to get into this real estate investing thing. Did you ever think that if you closed your eyes and think, okay, I'm going to fast forward, and let's say I'm 28, I'm 32 now. Did you ever think in 4 years you would undergone the growth that you guys, like, where, here it comes back to, you know, dream big, think big.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Like, how has that affected you and your whole...
It's a great question. I think it's really interesting to be able to give you an answer to that because, like, when I first go to answer that, I would say, no, I never would have imagined it. But then I never would have imagined necessarily this exact setup. But when I look back and I think about it, like Jordan has huge, like Jordan's vision is massive, like just huge. And so when him and I get together, you know, we have these like ridiculously big goals that we plan and big visions. So I would almost tell you, yeah, everything we have is based on the goals we've set and the vision that we created, but could I actually fathom like having all these different companies that are integrated and networking with the type of people that I'm networking with now? No, probably wouldn't have seen it like that. So it's quite exciting. I'm very grateful every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very stressed every day too.
Yeah, been there, done that.
You gotta balance your stress with gratitude and keep focused on your goals.
I like that. Balance your stress with gratitude.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I've never heard that before. I need to learn how to do that because I mean, we all see what happens above the water, but nobody sees what's happening, you know, behind the scenes, off social media,
That's right.
You know, all the bullshit you deal with, it's nonstop.
Social media just plays a huge trick on people, right? And that's like some of the advice I give, like new investors reach out to us all the time, like, I want to buy this property, I want to buy this one, like, okay, cool, have you thought of this? Like, yeah, I got just enough money for this. I was like, okay, well, just enough money in real estate will never work. So, you need money for rainy days and all the things that go wrong with real estate. You know, so I try and tell people the horror stories, not to scare them off, but to prepare them for anything and be more resilient, right? But yeah, it's stressful. I mean, just like anything is stressful, right? But in real estate, you're not often trading your time for money. In real estate investing, you're doing exactly that. You're trading money for money, and so you have a lot of money on the line when you're doing these deals. You know, you buy a property, you got $100,000 renovation budget plus your down payment, or you buy an apartment building, you got $1 million renovation. So it's stressful, right? But in the end, it's exciting. It's amazing, and it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, because we all know. Historically, the longer you hold real estate, you can't lose.
That's right. Hold real estate for 10 years, you're winning. It's as simple as that.
I know we're in a bit of a rocky, and hopefully we're at the end of this rocky interest rate world.
Yeah.
I think we're coming close to the end. I hope the end, realistically, is around the corner. I think we've gotten through the bulk of it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think I would hope so, and I also think that we went through the worst season with the highest interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping now, you know, we're coming into spring market, summer, and some interest rate drops. Hopefully, fingers crossed. So yeah, I think we're through the thick of it.
Thank God. So have you gotten into any? Well, you talking about this place in the east end of TO, all these townhouses, duplexes that you're building? Have you actually gone into building yet, like perform to build, as of yet, or is this going to be a
this will
getting
be
a, your feet wet with a 500?
Yeah. Jeez. So I mean, we won't build it ourselves. Obviously, like something that big, we want to learn and grow. But
yeah.
We want to do it smart, right? So we'll partner with the builder, and we're already partnering with that developer on it. So we'll be co-building and developing, and we'll come in with our expertise as well. But yeah, we've done some infill, we've done some like full teardowns. We're starting to poke our head into the Toronto market, you know, for like the infill on the, you know, four units with the garden suite to get access to MHC. But for the most part, we really started with like the value add renovations. We'll tear a roof off and add a story for, you know, or put something in the side or the back to add units or basement conversions. So that was kind of our bread and butter. And now as we grow, we're growing into more bigger multifamilies, apartment buildings we're working on.
Stabilizing them.
Yeah.
Renovating them, refinancing.
That's right. Yeah. Hoping to this year, I think we'll make our move into the Alberta market. So
I've heard some good things about the Alberta market.
Just the landlord tenant laws here
are terrible.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild. Terrible. And you know, it's like, this is stressful enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You throw the tenants in the mix.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want my priority to be providing the best home and experience for the tenants. That's what I want my priority to be. I don't want my priority to be constantly worried about if the tenant is going to screw me or not. You know what I mean? It really puts you on two sides of the fence. Like this is, you know, they divided us instead of having us work together, right?
Yeah.
And so you're like, I mean, one small thing the tenant decides they're not paying, it's like, well, there goes a year of rent and any damage they decide to do. So I don't want to be in that situation. I want to be in a giving situation where I'm giving them everything and they're giving me everything and we work together. So.
And most landlords, that's all they want.
That's all they want.
We want to provide good homes, good units, new, renovated, you know, beautiful units. Just respect the space, pay your rent.
That's it.
Stay the term of your lease and then leave if you want or stay longer. But it's almost like, you know, how backwards it is here in Ontario. It's almost like a sense of entitlement for the tenants, the way it's kind of shifted.
Yeah, they've given it as a human right.
Yeah.
So like now, you know, it's, I don't know. You can walk into a grocery store and you can steal a candy bar and get put in handcuffs for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you come in and you steal 12 months worth of rent while your landlord's paying a mortgage.
Thousands and thousands of dollars. Tens of thousands. Easily.
Yeah. We just had a case that we won. I mean, it'll break 50 grand in damages and lost rent. Like, this is like, when I tell you it's stressful, right? But, you know.
And they could care less.
They don't care
they
at all.
They could care less.
They're on to the next. They're on to the next. That's all it is. So, you know, hopefully in due time there'll be some kind of, I actually don't mind the landlord-tenant board process.
Yeah,
I think that it's there for a reason, and it would work well, even though there's a lot of hoops to jump through. Like, you make one wrong error on the address or the misspelling of the name, and it's garbage. But it's just the time it takes to get there. That's really what it is. If they turn these over in 2-3 weeks, even 30 days,
yeah,
sure, no why problem. Not? Let's do it. But a year later, it's like,
it
doesn't make sense.
It's nonsense. No. So you mentioned you're now in the space of and network with some trading companies and whatnot. How did that come about?
Yeah, so one of our my business partner in Choice Renovations mm-hmm. has a family member who is working at one of these companies, and so they were looking to begin acquiring
buildings,
homes, etc., based on specific criteria. So he reached out to his cousin and said, "Hey, you know anything about this? What are you guys doing here?" And then we'll put two and two together and
connected the dots,
and it just started growing. So we do a lot of renovations for them on assets they've already owned or continuing to purchase through Choice Renovations Canada, and we've done some amazing turnkey acquisitions, value add acquisitions for them.
Yeah,
so,
awesome.
It's been really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you like joint venturing? That's kind of a two-ply question, but
yeah.
What are your feelings about joint ventures?
We have one joint venture. I don't know. I guess we have two now. I love the idea of not only providing value in real estate, but providing value to people. Very people driven. So when I have the opportunity to come together with someone and they have value for me and I get to do all this for them, it makes me happy. It's good. I think there's pros and cons of every type of business venture. And I think joint ventures are a great way to scale. I think where people go wrong on joint ventures, personal opinion only, is like their utilization of joint ventures isn't always just for cash. It's also for like getting approved for financing. Mm-hmm. And I think in Southern Ontario, you have to be very, very careful with this because the numbers work out really well when you're burring out in terms of comparison approach, but they don't work at all in terms of like cash flow. So very easy to find someone and be like, we're going to duplex this house in Hamilton. And on completion, it's going to be worth $750,000. And we're buying it for $400,000 and we're putting $150,000 in. And then, you know, so our all-in cost is 80% of the after repair. So we get all our money out. It's like, okay, great. Are you approved? Like, yeah, I'm approved. And then you get all your money out and the property loses money every month, right? And so I think exit strategy and joint ventures is really, really important, especially, for both sides. So
absolutely.
It's got to be considered, yeah.
Yeah, there's pros and cons for sure. We obviously, my business model has really grown because of, our portfolio has really aggressively grown thanks to joint ventures. And we've really honed the whole partnership program and everything like that within the GW group of companies. But yeah, absolutely. There's pros and cons. There's good days and bad days.
Of course. How many joint ventures do you have?
Probably 80.
80 joint ventures? You just do like a couple properties per joint venture?
Yeah, most of the time they'll rinse and repeat their capital to a next one. Mm-hmm.
All multifamily?
Yeah, we're at like $445 now.
That's amazing.
That, through joint ventures.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So they bring the capital, you do everything else.
Yeah, we execute. And then we'll take either 40, 50 points on the shares of the
acquisitions.
Yeah.
And then on your joint venture on the exit, so are you commercially financing these?
Well, we pivoted once rates went through the roof and everything, because our bread and butter was historically triplex, fourplex.
Fourplexes are the sweetest spot. We are obsessed with fourplexes.
I know.
We love them.
I know. I love them.
Yeah.
And then fucking rates went where they were, and we burr everything too. Mm-hmm. So we started to pivot probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we started to pivot into the smaller apartment building space. Mm-hmm. So as of the last 2 years, it's all been 6, 8, 10, 15, 20 unit buildings,
cool.
JVs, and that has allowed us to obviously to scale as well. It's been great, and obviously with the CMHC incentives and NLI, we're getting our 50 year amps.
That's amazing.
95% LTV.
It's great.
So
lower interest rate.
Yeah, I like this one.
Uh-oh.
Leading a company often involves making tough decisions. I should say various companies.
Yeah.
Can you share a specific challenge you faced as a CEO? And we talked a little bit about the stress that comes. Mm-hmm. It's not all glory.
Okay.
But can you think of a specific example you faced as a CEO on one of your companies and how you navigated it, demonstrating your leadership style?
That's a great question.
I asked that because, it's funny. You probably, when you're put on the spot, you're like, okay,
I know,
which one should I say?
Yes, exactly.
If you were sitting at home right now, you know, chilled and relaxed, you probably have 100, right? Day to day, you probably go through.
Yeah, we go through this every day, yeah.
You probably go through problems every day that you solve.
Yeah.
But you're always trying to think, what's a great example? You know, keep it simple.
Yeah, I think...
is it staffing? Is it...
I think it's going to be systems.
Systems, yeah.
We love our systems. I don't know how much... when it comes to my leadership style, I often try to determine, is this a person problem or a system problem? right? And can I give you a perfect example? I don't know, I'm trying to think outside the box here, but you know, originally when we started our property management company, there was property management is a lot of moving parts, a lot. And we had people managing everything, and there was a lot of repetition, and you know, people were starting to stumble on the repetition for no reason. So you kind of sit back and you look at, like, you know, other people in the company may have said, this person's messing up, they gotta go, whatever it may be. You want to be able to step back and look at it and say, have I done everything I possibly could before I make a dramatic or a serious decision, good or bad? You know, before I purchase this, have I done all my due diligence? Before I let someone go, have I done everything I could to help them? So kind of step back and look at it and say, okay, we need to implement like a large software system into this company. And so in our very early days, ended up making that change, and that person to this day is thriving. So I think that's a systems. Positive one.
What was that thing you said? It's either a person problem.
Yeah, it's either a people problem or a systems problem. You have to look, and I think that's a decision you have to make right away. What is this? Is this a person issue or is this a systems issue? And then from there, you can kind of dissect it and break the problem down and make your decisions on what to do next.
Mm. Nice. I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. Systems can save a ton of time and a ton of money and a ton of headaches.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's obviously spending the money and getting the right system in place at the onset.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could spin your wheels and then all of a sudden somebody says, hey, did you know this app? It's called da da da.
Yeah.
This could totally take care of all that bullshit that you're dealing with.
And it happens all the time. It still happens to this day. People, like, and that's why I love speaking with like-minded people, right? Everyone has a system or a software that they love. And so, you know, even as recently as, you know, we use VoIP phones for a lot of our systems. And we were using like Uma for a while, this VoIP business system. And I don't know if it was a year ago or 8 months ago or whatever, but someone had mentioned OpenPhone. I found OpenPhone and I was like, this is incredible. Like, this VoIP phone system is the best one I've ever used. And now I recommend it to everybody. So we have OpenPhone and you can add like whatever line. It actually like looks like WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Like its system looks just like WhatsApp. So it's very user-friendly, very easy to use. You can... multiple people can see the text conversations going on with anybody, and then you can even comment and like tag your coworkers like on a text that came through. So say someone texts in and like, oh, something's broken in the property management, whatever, and tenants like something broke. We can comment on that saying like, hey, can you handle this? Or hey, send out this guy instead of this one.
Yeah,
it's on the actual message that came in, but the tenant can't see it. So like, there's so many. I'll go on for days.
Yeah,
there's some great features, and it's software like that. Continues to be amazing tools and systems to help us scale. So
you need systems to scale. That's 100%.
Yeah, we used to go by or still go by, you know, the if it only works if you can duplicate it. That's what we go by. So if it can't be duplicated, it's not a system. You have to be able to duplicate it over and over and over. So.
Second last question.
Okay.
Where do you see, so obviously you've been successful these last few years, growing an incredible business, so on and so forth. Where do you see yourself, let's fast forward, Tuck, 5 years from now?
Oh man.
Sky's the limit, I'm going to scale back and retire and go down south.
Definitely gonna be in warmer weather for the majority of the year, for sure. This has been in my vision for a long time.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely be there. I don't know where, south, I think in Mexico. I really like Mexico. So
yeah.
I spent a bunch of time there already and I like it a lot.
Yeah.
But in terms of Tuck, I see us, you know, our renovations company, we want to take it national. This is a huge goal of ours. So we want to actually break out of Ontario and grow this across multiple provinces. So this is a really big goal of ours, and we're already pushing the boundaries there. So it's going to be really exciting. Mm. You know, our holdings, sky's the limit. We're really, really excited to grow our holdings. Probably break into the States in a few years as well. So Alberta first, couple other provinces here, and then eventually the States. we have some crazy goals that we want to house a lot of people, and that's how we focus on it. We don't want to focus on how many doors, how many, it's like how many families can we create these homes for, and we want to be known for it. We want to be like, I want to live in a Tuck house, like, so it's exciting. We have some big vision and some good motivation to go with it, so yeah, we're excited.
Amazing. Last question. Similar to the title of our podcast. So when Evan thinks about, or he closes his eyes and pictures more to life, is there more to life for Evan? And when you think about it, what do you see? What's more to life for Evan?
I think more to life is spending quality, uncapped time with the people I love and care for, and being able to provide similar opportunity to others, and have a deep, deep rooted why with it, and like this vision that I can smell and taste. So yeah, it's exciting, and there's definitely more to life. You know, real estate is just a vehicle.
Yeah.
Right? Just like, yeah, you know, being in the fitness industry or a police officer.
Yeah.
Being in real estate, it's a vehicle to achieve freedom.
Yeah.
So I think that freedom is what we're all seeking. Freedom and quality of life. So.
Amazing. And that speaks volumes to your character that you say that, you know, more to life would be spending quality time essentially with the people that you love and mean a lot to you. Obviously family and close friends or whatnot, but that's amazing. And it speaks volumes to your character that I've heard people, you know, we've interviewed guests that'll from that extreme to, well, more to life to me is owning my own jet like Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
That's more to life for me. To be able to fly anywhere I want and have my own private pilot and stuff.
Yeah.
We've had that to more to life for me is being able to spend great quality time with the people that I love.
And hey, I'm not saying there's not a jet on my vision board right now.
Yeah,
I'm just saying maybe it gets me to my family faster.
Yeah.
You know, like money is just a vehicle, and I think that's really important. You know, we do a lot of goal setting for investors that come to us, and part of that is really understanding what do you really want the money for? Like, what do you need the jet for?
Yeah.
Why do you want the jet? What is it after the jet? Because if it's just money, you know, there's going to be crazy stressful days and money's not getting out of bed. And like, you got to find out what the end result is. So if you had $1 billion right now, you know, what would you do with it? Like, that's kind of where we go. And so you really find people's, like, deep reasons.
Yeah.
And you plan their goals based on that. So.
Amazing. Well, listen, thank you again for being on the podcast.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having
me. Amazing. Another awesome guest here in season 2 of the More to Life Real Estate Investing Podcast. Evan, you're on your way to some really big, great things. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you very much.
I'm so happy when we see people come to the show that been in the trenches like you and started as a personal trainer to now, you know, getting your hands into a 500 unit development project and everything else that you got going on. So congratulations.
Thank
awesome.
You. Thank
and
you.
Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers.